Morning, everybody. You guys turn your Bibles, book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. Try to get the fuzzy back on here. There we go. All right, glad to see y'all here. I know some of you probably had some interesting experiences on your way to assembly this morning. I know Chris Wildman was telling me she had a little bit of a wild drive. So, doesn't surprise you with a last name like that. A female version of Jehu, driving furiously. But, you know, I'm thankful, guys, because the Lord sets the table, doesn't He? And He went to great lengths to do that for us. And so, you know, whenever possible, really, this is the most important thing you could be doing. The plans are for me to go see my boys today and watch a little Super Bowl with them, assemble in Bozeman tonight. I think I'm still going to do it on these roads because I want to be with my boys. You know, the Lord wants to be with us, guys. So it's things that are a priority to Him. Hopefully we make the same priority. Really appreciative of stewardship and Lord's Supper. A lot I could say about those, but time, I got to get on with it. So let's go. Romans 13. Let's do verses 7 through 10. Render to all what's due to them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, love therefore is the fulfillment of the law. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise Your great and glorious name. We're appreciative for Your Word. We're appreciative that Jesus came in the flesh. The Word did become flesh and dwelt among us. We could see Your character revealed, Lord, in a manner which is very easy for us to grasp a hold of and understand. We're thankful for that demonstration of love, as was talked about already this morning, through Jesus stretching Himself out for us, leaving His place of glory to come here. Lord, also, for even through the resurrection, ascension, the life that Christ now lives, that He always lives to make intercession on our behalf. What a continuing, ongoing work of love. We're appreciative for the example of Christ. And Lord, that You have not left us alone to try to do this. It requires supernatural love, and You have given us of Your Spirit that we may truly love one another the way that You have loved us. I ask that You be with me today as I preach Your Word, that it would come through clear, Lord, and that You would be glorified through the message this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Last night was one of those nights, I don't know if this happens to any of the rest of you ever, but I woke up in the middle of the night, wide awake. And the problem is, I started thinking. And my mind was just thinking and thinking and thinking. I tried to get it to quit thinking a few times. It didn't quit. So I just, might as well keep thinking. So a lot of good things I was thinking about, but why am I bringing this up right now? I guess a few things about the messages we're going through, and hopefully I'm awake enough to communicate. And you guys don't look super awake today. Just saying. I should change that, because present, positive, affirmative. You guys look like you're just ready to see what the Scripture has to say about love. I know that sickness is going through a lot of the congregation right now, so let's pray for each other and thankful we're not one cuppers today for sure. But pray for each other and let's love one another. But I was thinking about just what we preached on last week from this, and I promised you guys I'm going to do a little series, go back and do a little series, actually, some of the details from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But before the details, I was thinking big picture. You know, sometimes, I know for me, I can get caught up in the details, bogged down in the details, the devil's in the details, however you want to say that. And sometimes I can lose the forest for the trees, and I think especially when I communicate, sometimes I see other people lose the forest for the trees because of all my talking about the details. So I was just thinking, big picture first, what some of the stuff we talked about last week, the Great Commandment. You know, a few different times, that conversation comes up in the Gospels. And actually at least two different times. I think Matthew's and Mark's account are the same situation, and then Luke's account is a different one. But what is the great commandment? Well, first, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then the second, Jesus says, is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I just want a big picture talk about these a little bit more before we get into the details. Love your neighbor as yourself. Have you ever noticed it's actually really easy, generally, as a general rule, it's easy to love people who love you. I don't find it particularly difficult to love people and be nice to people that love me and are nice to me. I mean, there might be moments that you drive me nuts. I know I never drive anybody crazy, but you know, but for the most part, it's, hey, it's easy. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You know where? I think it's an easy thing. And I remember some years ago talking to a young lady about this, and I think it's something for us all to think about. Consider who your friends are in the church for a second. And I want you to think about this. If virtually all of your friends are ahead of you spiritually, then that means, realistically, they have chosen to be your friend. You see what I'm saying? What I mean is, hey, it's easy to be friends with people. It's easy to love those who love you. Hopefully all of us are friends with people who are ahead of us on this spiritual journey and those who are not as far along as us on this spiritual journey. Because it means that all of us, we're not just loving those who love us, we're actually being able to love those who maybe don't know how to love as well as we do yet. It's what I'm saying is easy to be friends with somebody who makes the sacrifices for you. It's much more difficult, and it becomes much more real when you have to actually do it for somebody else, maybe who doesn't necessarily reciprocate. It can be difficult to love the unlovable. But I think more than that, the people that are just not as easy to love. But I think more than that, what about difficult to love those who've hurt you? That's where it gets tough. Now, it's interesting to me because when this comes up in Luke's account, the person that asked Jesus about that great commandment, when Jesus answers the question, this guy comes back and it says, wishing to justify himself. He said, and who is my neighbor? It's easy to want to justify yourself. I love the way Christ loves. But sometimes the mental gymnastics, we are going to categorize the people that we're going to love. So wishing to justify himself, he says, who is my neighbor? And of course, we know what Jesus says. He responds with the parable of the Good Samaritan. The last guy that you would think of. The Good Samaritan. The Samaritan is the guy that all the Jews mistreat. And he's the one guy who actually does everything for this Jew that's wounded and hurting. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus' words are always good for the soul. Sometimes they comfort us and sometimes they pierce us. They're always good for us. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you should love your neighbor. Notice that's all bolded in your Bible if it does it that way. That's a quotation from the Old Testament. You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That part's not bolded. Nowhere did the Old Testament say that. That's what people had added on. Right? But Jesus says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Hey guys, you don't have to be a Christian to love those who love you. Tax gatherers and Gentiles do that just fine. You don't need the Spirit of Christ in you to love those who treat you right all the time. I remember specifically, this has happened a lot in my life, but I remember specifically one situation because the lady got so riled up with me. But you talk to people about immersion into Christ, and you get people's various arguments about why immersion into Christ, why you don't have to be immersed in order to be saved. And they throw one argument at you, and you take care of it scripturally and lock it down. And then they come back with another one, and they change their arguments where they could never all equally coexist at the same time. Oh, thank you, Mr. Schaefer. But finally, she said, well, it doesn't matter because I was immersed anyways. I said, well, it didn't count. She got mad when I said it didn't count. But it didn't count. Look, if you didn't do it for the right reasons, it didn't count. You know what, guys? You love those who love you, and that's all you do. It doesn't count. No big deal. It doesn't matter. It's not that's not the love that Jesus has shown to us. So, that's the second one, though. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? Wasn't there a first? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I think about it this way. Hey, another's like it, and we emphasized that the last time. But there's a prerequisite. The prerequisite is number one. You have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you don't love the Lord your God with everything that you have, you will never be able to actually love other people the way that Christ wants us to. Follow through on this with me, okay? So we can try. We can try and try and try and try forever to love our neighbor as ourselves. But if we don't truly love God, it's going to be impossible. Let's think about this. Jump into Algebra 2 without having any understanding of Algebra 1. Good luck. I don't want to be your teacher. Tell you that right now. You can't do it without having these other things there, right? So, the reality of it is, if I'm struggling to love my neighbor as myself, where I really got to go back, I got to work on, it's probably on number one. Loving the Lord my God with everything within me. So, I'm going to just use a couple of illustrations. I hope this, because I want to communicate this. So, in college, there's a semester I got, the only two C's in my life, I got them the same semester. So, one was organic chemistry and one was engineering mechanics 251. I knew I would never have to use EM 251 again, so I didn't care. Got through it. Problem with organic chemistry was first semester of organic chemistry. I had a follow-up. Second semester of organic chemistry. Okay, you can get a C in college and not have a clue what you're doing. Seriously. Okay. So, but the problem is I had to take second semester. So the reality of it is, the second semester I got a B, and I was really proud of myself because I had to go back and relearn what I should have learned the first semester and learn what I did the second semester. See, if you don't learn what you're supposed to the first time, you can't do what follows up with that. But here's the other side of this that I want to communicate. The proof that you actually understand the first shows up in the second. So, we can say we love God and think we love God and think we have this down, and if we don't really love God, it's going to be exposed in the way that we love or don't love, are not able to love other people. See what I'm saying? Maybe another example, if just the words of organic chemistry make your brain shut off. How about a team? Let's just take a basketball team. If a team does not have the basic fundamentals of the game down, you can get as complicated as you want to. You can put in You can put in man-to-man defense, you know, all these different zone defenses, for all the different scenarios. You can have a way to beat a zone defense, all these plays. And if a team does not have the fundamentals down, it does not matter how great the scheme is, and never gonna be good. Brother, we can talk about loving each other, and we should, because the scripture does. But if we're struggling to love one another the way that we need to, the real problem is we don't love God the way that we need to. And so, this is similar, I think, to faith and works. You know, we know this. Works need to flow from our faith. Okay? You can't get the cart in front of the horse. We talk about this in the book of Romans. So works have to flow from our faith. But if there are no works, James is very clear about this, there is no faith. You're lying to yourself, right? So we say, Steve Doty said it, and I like it, the solution isn't to try harder, it's to believe more. Okay. Well, brethren, love of others has to flow from our love of God. And if there is no love of others, then there's really a problem with our love of God. So we got to go back and we have to think about this. It's not just about trying harder. It's about believing more and it's about loving more. Loving God. Okay. So the importance of building your relationship with God. Like, that is the number one priority that you have in your life. Every other relationship you have is going to flow from that one. If you struggle in relationships, you're struggling to love people the way that you... What are you going to do? It's not just about trying harder. It's about going back and building your relationship with God. Okay? Love Him more. Some practical ways to do that. I'm not preaching on that necessarily today. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13. That was my introduction from me staying up a few hours in the middle of the night, among other things. So, thankfully, I'm preaching a new series on love, and I can stop at any time. And I don't have to finish my message today on time, in other words. I'll just bump the rest of it to next week, and so you guys don't have to be worried that we're going to be here till 2 o'clock or anything. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, I will say this though, as long as I'm on that, in a very as loving way as possible. If you have time to watch the big game tonight, you have time to be here to fellowship with the saints again tonight. Yeah, you can go to Mr. Miller's afterwards and watch the rest of it, and nobody's going to tell you the score ahead of time because we love our brethren. All right, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. It's interesting to me, guys, both in Romans and 1 Corinthians, the topic of love comes up immediately following discussion on using our gifts in the body of Christ. God places each one of us in the body just as He desires. Isn't that what the scripture says? God gives each one of us gifts in accordance with, you know, our faith. He gives them, but He gives them to us the way that He sees fit to do that. So each one of us has special gifts that we're supposed to use in service for one another and use it ultimately for God's glory. But here's the interesting thing. Even more important than how we're using our gifts really is why we're using them. Okay? That's what we find out. What's the motivation behind what we do? I think I might have hit this last week a little bit, so I'm not going to repeat it too much, but we know the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But the starting line is not the same as the finish line, is it? You know, what gets you to the starting line of a race isn't always what gets you through the race. I remember where's Jeff Bisco? Oh, there he is. I was a good runner back when I was younger. Okay? In case Jeff didn't hear that, I want to make sure he caught that this time. But when I was younger, I was a good runner. But when I was actually 7 years old, I did my first race ever. And it was the Governor's Cup in Helena, Montana. And it was the biggest, huge road race, like probably 3,000 plus people would line up on this race. And I was 7 years old, never been in a race before. I was learning to run and liked it. I actually would go to the track with my dad and run, and he'd go run and I'd run. And the way it kind of started, I'd just finish like a half lap behind him. And pretty soon I'm whooping my dad, you know. So I was like, hey, I like this thing. So I get there. My dad's off going to start in the marathon. And so this lady that was a friend of ours, she was helping me get ready at the race. She stuck me on the very front row of this 3,000 plus people race. I'd never been in a race before. Gun goes off. I just got run over the top of. I got knocked down, trampled, you know. Okay, hey. Now I didn't know how this works. Okay. But the reason I bring that up is, guys, getting to the start of a race is not the same as finishing it. The fear of the Lord gets us to the start. Fear of the Lord alone will not get you through this race of Christianity. If fear is your only motivator, at some point you quit. That's what I'm saying. And so, it is the start, but it's not the end. And so, you know, I remember as a child, you know, I think I've mentioned this before, but it's very vivid in my mind. About 8 years old, I remember just talking to God and saying, I knew I didn't want to go to hell. Like an 8 year old kid can figure that out. Right? Didn't want to go to hell. I actually got a script up for my new Targeting Truth that's coming out. Well, one's ready to be released any moment, and then the next script's done is about hell, and that's scary. It's just a reminder to me. Hell is a really scary place. But, so 8 years old, I had that figured out. But I knew, I did not, like, basically I told God, I was like, I will do whatever you want. I don't want to go to hell, but it would be really fine with me if when I die, that's it. I don't want to live forever. 8 years old, I wasn't chasing the fountain of youth already. I was like, I do not ever. If you think about stuff, you already figure out, like, the best of everything gets old. Second time you eat seafood, it's not as good as the first time. You know, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? So, but I guess I would have been a good Jehovah's Witness, right? Like, I mean, a good unbelieving. Anyways, I would have been happy to just be a bad guy if Jehovah's Witnesses, because you just die and go into nothingness, and that's really all I wanted. But why is that? Why was that? There was something, I had the fear of the Lord. Do you know what I did not understand yet at all? It was love. The more I grew, like, once I came to know God and I loved God, like, that's why I want to live forever. I want to live forever because of this place. I mean, I don't mean you guys, the church. Of course, you're going to be there in heaven. Can't wait. And, this world, I don't want to live forever because of this world, but I want to live forever because of God. I want to be with Him, where faith becomes sight. There's nothing better than that, but I didn't understand that at the time. What I was missing was love of God and really even love of people. I appreciate Kevin's prayer today. Hey, can I say anything? So Kevin's dad passed away a couple days ago. Yeah, that's a tough thing. If you knew Kevin's dad, I mean, Kevin's been a faithful man to his dad, and his dad wasn't a faithful man. Kevin was a faithful son. I'm proud of you. You're a great example to me in that way. But you notice Kevin's prayer? He's looking forward to heaven because of the people who are going to be there too. Brethren, that's one of the poles of heaven. To have those that we do love, that have chosen to love God along with us. We're going to be there together. And that's a pull to help us make it there. But what, let me think about this for a second. What if you don't love people? What if you never love souls? What if you never get the pull? Why do you want to go to heaven? You don't love God. Like, you know what, guys? Nobody going to make it to heaven that doesn't want to be there. Just the reality of it. Ain't nobody going to slide in. The only way you're going to be in heaven is if you want to be there. And that first starts with love of God. And then secondly, love of the brethren. If you don't, sometimes some of us don't like the church very much. It might tell you about the state of your heart, because guess who the people are going to be there in heaven? If you don't love like the church, you're not going to like heaven. Now, granted, okay, I will be over my imperfections, so I'll be easier to like up there. Okay? But you understand what I'm saying, right? So it's in the heart. So we want to love God and we want to love people. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. First John 4, verse 16. 1 John 4, 16. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Like, just real simple summary. Like, you want to know if you have the Spirit of God in you? Do you love? Because God is love. And if he lives in you, it's apparent. Okay? So, verse 17, by this love is perfected with us, that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. Do you want to have confidence at Christ's return? You can have confidence because the love of God is in us, being perfected in us. Verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So, you know, a child's relationship with their parents, it really starts with, I think, there's a fear and there's a dependence. You know, I think about children. I've been enjoying just finishing up some Bible studies with Tyler and Marina, and they, when they bring Camden, and just watching him and seeing that interaction, remembering all the work it is to have a little tiny guy. But, man, they love him so much, and he loves them, but his love for them is really a dependent love, isn't it? That's all it is at this point in time. And that's where it starts. But that's going to grow. Okay? And through that, through the transition of life, okay, you're going to end up with a love that's a full friendship love and an agape love. Okay? A friendship and a willing to lay down your life sort of love. Okay? He doesn't have that now. He can't. Impossible. But at the end, hey, by the time he's grown up, hey, that's what God's desire is. That's the family's desire. That's the way it should be. And so, you know, dependence and fear get replaced by friendship and love. That's true in our relationship with God as well, isn't it? Hey, we start out, and even our love that we have for God, many of us, it kind of starts as a selfish love. It's a dependent love. So many of us, we start with love of the truth. But we can't just love the truth. We learn to love God. We can't just stand for what's right. We need to stand for what's right with love. So, if we don't, then what position are we in? Well, that's what I was going to preach on today, but I'm looking, it's 11:30. So, the time of message last week was, oh, nothing except to love, right? That's from Romans 13. And the title of my message this week, which, well, now will be next week, Mr. Simpson, is nothing without love. Because we are nothing without love. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 makes that point. So no introduction next time. We'll jump in. Let's stand. And Mr. Simpson, if you would be willing to, when I'm done praying, if you'd just lead the closing song, because I appreciate it. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for everything you've done for us and everything you continue to do. We're thankful for the example of Christ, and we're thankful for the words of Christ that do. Lord, I'm thankful that you shoot straight with us. Because man, sometimes we can kid ourselves. We can have ourselves convinced that we do love you. When in reality, we haven't even learned what it means to love you yet. But Lord, that's what we want. That's why we're here. That's why we came to you. We want to love you. We want to learn how to love others the way that you have loved us. And so we're appreciative for your teaching, even when it pierces us sometimes, because it helps us to understand there's some areas we need to grow. Lord, we do love you. We're committed to you. We're willing to learn whatever we need to learn. Father, we love the brethren. We're committed to the brethren. We're willing to learn whatever we need to learn. Be with us, Father. Strengthen us. Know that in the easy times, it is easy and anybody can do that. It's the tough times, Lord, that we do need your strength. We need your spirit of love abiding in us. So we're thankful for the spirit whom you've given to us. And Lord, we are dependent upon you. We're relying upon you. And we trust, Father, that you're working in our lives, that you are teaching us how to be like you, how to love like you. We ask your blessing on the rest of this day, Father, and this week. I just ask for the strength that it would be made manifested in our lives, that the interactions that we have with everybody, those closest to us, and even those that we have first interactions with, Lord, that your spirit of love would be manifested in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.